When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Wake up! Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
You're wondering when they're going to get to changing the play caller, and it feels like they have to change.
And I do think they will.
Yes.
My sense is that.
It doesn't mean they have to fire the offensive coordinator, but they have to change the play caller.
Will Shane remain on the staff this week?
Like I said, you know, the process of that, we're going through that right now. And all those adjustments and changes and things that we're going to do, we're still in the evaluation phase of that.
You know, this idea, and you hesitate to go too far with this, but like we were talking to Brad Biggs, he throws out the name John Gruden.
If they want to get wild, and it's the Bears, so could it hurt to pick up the phone and call John Gruden down in Florida, right?
Like, whoa, that is as unsourced as probably the John Gruden idea was with Brad.
Yeah, whatever.
What they should have done is grabbed John Gruden and made him GM and head coach and gave him full control because he's a genius.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Fighter 2, Y Banana.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Curious sir, Mr. David, as the season unfolds before us, and what wild turn will we see today?
Happy Wednesday, Molly. Yes, who knows what's going to happen at Hallis Hall later. Yesterday, a very active day. Whoa. Lots of news from the stadium project pivot to the Hallis Hall firing. Shane Waldron leaving the building, not coming back. Thomas Brown elevated. The Bears in full-fledged crisis mode, all kinds of meetings, all kinds of action. Will it make any difference Sunday against a Packers team that has beaten you 10 straight times?
Think about
that for a moment.
Well, that's
reality.
See, here's the problem.
That's the reality check.
The problem is that it's Packers week. The problem is, you know, it's a fun kind of story to watch, you know, strap aboard and enjoy the thrill ride.
The drama.
But the reality is that at the end of the week, you are coming to an abrupt halt because Green Bay is coming into town. As you mentioned, the Flower hasn't lost to the Bears. And they are looking they're not thinking, oh, poor Shane Waldron, or how are they going to be?
They're taking advantage.
They're going to come at you with everything they got. And are you ready? I can't wait to see how today unfolds, because it's going to be kind of wild.
But what do you expect? Because we're going to hear from Caleb Williams. We're going to hear from Thomas Brown. We're going to most importantly hear from Matt Eberflus, who needs to explain what happened yesterday and why it took as long as it did. But I'm curious, what would you like to hear today from the speakers?
What I'd like to hear versus what we're going to hear is going to be completely
There's always
different.
A big gap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it feels... I don't know that it is the case, but it feels like this is, you know, we are just now in the sort of the march to extinction, if you will, right? It doesn't feel like there's a lot that you can do. I think we're going to hear a lot of like, Oh, now we got the play caller. Oh, now we. And I'm going to have to chuckle to myself. Well, am I wrong? Is that.
Extinction. I'm saying that could be a Netflix series. The March to Extinction.
Yeah.
The 2024 Chicago Bears.
It does feel that way.
HBO could do that.
Yeah, I don't think
the follow up to Hard Knocks.
I don't watch anymore.
All right, no more Hard Knocks. Happiness.
I don't watch any more Spin. You know what I mean? If you're gonna try to sell me on that kind of a series,
stop with the Hallmark movies.
You're gonna have to leave the swearing in this time. You're gonna have to not cut out everything because I got a feeling there's a lot of muttering of swear words to oneself.
Oh, I'm sure there was. There were a lot of swear words uttered yesterday at Halas Hall this week around Chicago talking about the Bears.
I can't get past the fact that they fired a guy. This is not about, well, now look what the hell this guy. And we'll play along. We'll get into all of it. We'll talk about what success looks like now from here and what their offense looks like. This is the problem, David, above and beyond everything else. The problem is that you had the number one pick in the draft. You knew you were taking a quarterback. You knew that the development of the quarterback is the story of the NFL and really the story of the Bears.
And what did you do?
Just gone through. You hired a guy who had autonomy in terms of developing the quarterback. You interviewed about 10 guys.
Assistant head coach/offense. Ran the offense.
We are giving
his offense.
Our franchise, a.k.a. the quarterback, to you to develop. And now here we are. It is the 13th of November, and you have already pulled the plug on that crucial, maybe the most important hire of this head coach's tenure.
It was. And he botched it.
And you botched it, and you got help. Your GM botched it.
Let me say, I correct myself.
Please.
I said he botched it, and I meant they.
They botched it.
Because what we need to understand here is that as much as Matt Eberflus deserves the criticism he's received this week, and likely will get more today after he stumbles through another press conference, I think that we have to remember that he has a boss. And his boss is Ryan Poles, and he's as responsible for this mess as anybody.
And who's his boss?
Kevin Warren.
And who's his boss?
That's George McCaskey.
So it goes back to ownership.
Well, really. George McCaskey now, since taking over as chairman, has gone through and overseen a lot of turnover. And he has presided over a lot of dysfunction. Since McCaskey became the chairman in 2011, the Bears have had four general managers, five head coaches, and now, count them, nine offensive coordinators. That is instability. And he was appointed in 2011 with the idea of stabilizing the franchise. And it's been nothing but unstable since. And they have yet to win a playoff game under his watch. So you want to start at the top. Let's go to the very top. George McCaskey has been a failure as the Bears chairman. And if you're looking and judging that by on-the-field results, that's really inarguable. And he's a nice guy. He's got a very warm personality. But he's not producing results. And this week is a mess. This season is a disappointment. And so now they're left to pick up the pieces. What we hear at Halas Hall today, you're exactly right. It's going to be wholly unsatisfying.
Oh, my God.
And frustrating.
Because I'm just saying, that's your backstory. So you're going into this thing. Now we're going to start talking about, like, the change of play caller and what it means and how to – you fired your coordinator. Let's take a minute. And then as we talk about what success looks like and how – you've got a player that is the determinant of the future of your organization – and you've done very little to get much out of him. And you haven't built the team around him correctly. And you now have rumors swirling about how veterans might feel about the guy. You never put him in a position where you feel now, where he had a chance, a legitimate fighting chance. I don't know if you've lost the guy.
Well, I hope not.
Oh, I listen.
Yeah, obviously. And you're not saying that.
I'm not saying you've lost him.
You worry about that. It's a legitimate concern.
The coach is like, oh,
it's a legitimate concern,
I'm going to talk to him. We'll bring him in. We'll see where his confidence is. He's very high. His confidence is sky high. You know, the fact that the thought went through your head and you couldn't prevent yourself from articulating it tells you everything you need to
the
know.
The shame of it is that we talked about before the season, Caleb Williams entering the situation that was most conducive to winning than any number one overall pick had.
Exactly.
And you squandered that opportunity because I believe that actually could have been true.
Yeah, it could have.
And when you look at the defense on this team, it really was true. What they did was they failed to take advantage of that from an offensive perspective, and now they are where they are. 9 games in, Thomas Brown takes over.
Yeah.
He's a very impressive young coach. You'll hear him inject some enthusiasm into the building, into the offense. My sense would be that they may get a short-term bounce, but I don't know what this means about the direction for the offense, for the future of Caleb Williams, and the stability that you would want a number one overall pick, your franchise quarterback, to have. Does this create more stability and a better foundation, or does this just prepare you for the uncertainty that's ahead? I fear that it's the latter, because that's what we've come to expect from the Bears.
And it always ends up worse than you can imagine. I mean,
that's so true. All right, let's go back to Monday and let's whiteboard some of this stuff, because
yes,
I think
yes.
Talked to several people around the league yesterday. You know, coaches talk to coaches and coaches talk to people, and things are out there. This is what I think is fair to assume based on what we know. Matt Eberflus went to work on Monday morning. I don't think committed to firing Shane Waldron.
Right.
He was going to elevate him and put him in the press box or the coach's booth and to be in communication.
He was going to take away play calling.
Yeah, he was going to be on the staff. Thomas Brown was going to call the plays.
Right.
And I think that was the expectation from Matt Eberflus's perspective, from based on people I've spoken to. Ryan Poles wanted Shane Waldron to be fired. Okay. I think that Ryan Poles was the stronger voice in this conversation. And so Shane Waldron was essentially fired. But I think that if we wonder why it took as long as we seem to think it took, and we waited a day before the news broke yesterday on our program, I think that it could be explained easily that the head coach and the general manager had to get on the same page. And that's hard to do sometimes, as you know, as we have covered a lot of general managers and head coaches who haven't been on the same page. But I think that was part of it. And then...
So by get on the same page, what you're saying is Eberflus had to go along with the general manager's plan. I mean, that's what you're saying.
He's not the boss.
Well, no, he's not the boss. And he said the decision was wholly his, right? He said it was his decision.
He did say that Monday.
Okay,
well, I don't think that it was.
No, it wasn't.
I think that's coach speak.
Okay, but the point is, the guy doesn't even control the staff now. Like, the point is that you're come away from that with the coach, as we have said, you know, 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot on the banana.
Yeah, because you're right. And I don't think you can argue with that, especially everyone involved that knows what happened. But I think that I also understand that, because you're talking about eighth assistant coach that has now left Matt Eberflus's staff in the last 15 months. And when you talk about a head coach presiding over a staff that has seen...
Two on purpose,
that
right?
It's
a lot of launching. It's a lot of paying people off.
That's part of the conversation, though.
It's a lot of paying people off.
Well, it's a lot of paying people off. You're paying people not to work. And you also have a reality and now a resume that you have a head coach that cannot put a staff together.
Would you want to work for that guy moving forward?
No, because he's going to likely lose his job at the end of the season.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, no.
And even if they somehow got a stay of execution,
who would
want to come in here and work for
you? It'd be a difficult scenario. I don't think that...
I think it's over.
But let's attach that to the reality of, if he stays, it will be because Thomas Brown has turned things around. And he won't have to hire a third offensive coordinator, a fourth. And if he goes, everybody goes.
So if he stays, it'll be by accident.
I'm not suggesting he's going to stay.
Oh, I don't think he's going to stay either. I'm just saying, were he to, it would be another
But you asked the question, if would you come to work for him? The only way that you would come to work for him would be under that scenario. Somehow they salvage the rest of the season, and somehow he returns for a fourth year. The only way that happens is if Thomas Brown is successful getting the most out of Caleb Williams somehow in the last eight games. Now, can he do that? We'll talk about it throughout the show. It's going to be interesting to talk to Darren Gant from Panthers.com at 8:25 about who this guy really is. Because I do think, strip away the cynicism and our experience covering the Bears, I do think that Thomas Brown is one of those guys in the industry that is considered an up-and-comer and will one day be a head coach. He's got a charisma. He's got personality. He's going to be impressive.
And I'm not in any way trying to stop the enthusiasm for that or trying to slow the roll of this guy. But, you know, why is he here? Why is he here? Because it didn't work in Carolina. Because that quarterback has now been benched. And maybe he's playing again because they had an injury. But
that was even more dysfunctional than the Bears situation.
Well, I'm not arguing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bears situation is pretty much as bad and as much of a national laughingstock as any in the league, any in the NFL. And I just think that while we talk about the former Carolina coordinator, I'm not damning him by the fact that he worked there or anything like that, but not only did he work there, not only did he get that job, but then he ended up here because it didn't work. I'm just saying that you just got to be sober about how you're looking at this. I get it. People are going to get carried away.
I'm not getting carried away.
Yeah. I know you're not. I'm saying as we talk about this and as we give him that, hopefully, you know, we're all hopeful. There's still a lot of football left. But I'm also aware that their plan failed. Their plan failed.
No doubt about it. And I think Mark Potash actually put it well in the Sun-Times this morning. We know that Potty has been around for a long time. And I think that he has seen enough examples to put this into the context. When somebody from whether it's a player or a coach, assistant, a play caller, walks into Hallis Hall, you tend to see the worst version of themselves when they do that.
Yeah.
And we've seen he had many examples and that's a shame, but I think that's unfortunately the expectation. So Thomas Brown may make a good impression, but you have to remember he's still calling plays for the Bears on Sunday. So you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, he's also calling plays out of someone else's playbook.
It's a different play caller, but it's not a different playbook.
To be fair to him, though, this is not the offense that he put together.
Right.
These are not the players. Like, you know, when you're an offensive coordinator, you come in and I got to get this and I got to get that. He's got nothing. He's got what is with the scraps that were left over.
Same playbook, different play caller.
My point is, but it's not the playbook that he put together.
I know. I know. So he's being held responsible for things he didn't really author. And so he is being asked to defend somebody else's principles, essentially. Which is difficult to do.
So we have an explanation now of the delay, which was...
I believe.
Okay, that's fair. But I'm willing to accept that explanation of the delay. Now let's continue. So we get to Tuesday, where now the coach has been... His will has bent to the general manager, should we put it that way?
I think you could say that.
And I don't know that that's going to do much to help him either, to be honest with you. I think they had a good working relationship, and he probably came around. But we know that he doesn't really have a lot of sway in the building anymore. Not that he really ever seemed to have, but it puts him in a different perspective.
It's wishy-washy because the last we heard from Matt Eberflus was Monday with him talking in vague terms intentionally about the future of Shane Waldron, when you wonder what would be the reason why. Because did he believe that he could still salvage something? It would seem murky when he met the media around noon. So now we have a little better sense of why that was. Let's get back to Thomas Brown for a second, because I think the important thing to remember, it's a great point about the playbook and being fair, but I think also beyond the schematic changes beyond the play calling, sequencing, all the things that you expect from your offensive coordinator. The one thing I think they also hope and they need to see Thomas Brown do is reach Caleb Williams and bring him back. Because this is somebody who there are now some concerns internally about Caleb Williams and how he's handling this kind of unexpected struggle and what he's doing in terms of not having a rapport with his receivers, not being the guy who with all the easy confidence isn't necessarily a natural mingler, not necessarily somebody who is going to be naturally one of the guys. And I don't know if you could describe it as a funk, but this three-game stretch has been very difficult on a 22-year-old rookie franchise quarterback. And maybe it's up to Thomas Brown, or the hope might be that he is able to help Caleb Williams recapture some of what's missing. Because what's missing is he doesn't have confidence. He's lacking chemistry with his receivers. And now you start to wonder about, you know, just where his head is at. You didn't want this to be the case midway through his rookie season.
Well, again, that's why the hire was so important. And it's so blown. As far as that is concerned, coaching is a people business, right? We all know that. Coaching is about connecting with people on many different levels. And there are some coaches that are really good at that. There are other guys that are more X's and O's, kind of ethereal thinkers. So if he is a magnetic personality, as we've heard suggested, he should be able to connect with the quarterback and he should be able to get the most out of the quarterback. But I do not know mentally where Caleb Williams is at. In other words, I don't know if everything that has unfolded to this point is leaving a mark or not, or how he feels about what the adversity he's facing is. It's adversity, and you got to get through it. I don't think that, you know, I think a lot of the stuff you're talking about is really interesting. You know, it's really hard to come into a football team as a new quarterback, whether you're young, whether you're old. It's really hard to come into a football team as a rookie. So then you take that and you add in the position. And we talked about this in the hallway a little bit after the show yesterday. Another Parcellsism is this idea that when you come to a football team as a quarterback, a third of the team is going to love you because they've been trained that the quarterback is the leadership position. You got to have a good quarterback. So you'll get a third of the team that is on your side no matter what. And you'll have a third of the team that is jealous of the recognition and the money and all of the glory that goes with being the quarterback, and they're reliant upon the quarterback, but they're also helping the quarterback. So you'll have a third of the team that doesn't like you. They will dislike you because you're the quarterback. A third will love you. A third will hate you because you're the quarterback. And then it's how you do with the rest of the group, how you connect with that rest of the group.
It's like the baseball adage.
Yeah.
You're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60. What do you do with the other 42?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's very similar.
And that comes down to the way you carry yourself and how you treat people. And that's that. You have to get a grip of that. And that is the only way to succeed in that position.
And it can't help that you're a 22-year-old franchise quarterback and now you're having reports that teammates are
gone to management
or coaches and want to talk about, you know,
bringing
the backup and replacing you, and just the chatter and the rumors and the innuendo. That part of it is less clear as far as what happened, but those things tend to start somewhere. You know that there's got to be this kind of consternation and the conversation about what's wrong with Caleb Williams, and because of the way that he hasn't really struggled a lot, and he's learning how to be a professional as well. So these are things that make make you, this you, week a really dysfunctional
what,
mess.
The reason you need a strong leader, a strong coach, is to nip that in the bud the minute it raises its profile. You can't come out of this season with a mutiny against your franchise quarterback. You can't. Mm-mm. And that's on the head coach to prevent. And if he does nothing else, he needs to stop that immediately.
And if he can't stop that, then he'll go.
Yeah, he will go.
He'll be fired, and you'll have to start over.
Well, he's probably going to be fired no matter what.
Yeah, you're looking at.
But when you say start over, you mean like get back in the draft?
No, I don't mean that. No, I think that it's absurd to think that after 9 games we're going to draw conclusions about the future of Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
I think that would be a mistake. But I do think that some of these chemistry issues, some of these personality concerns are things that we have heard for a while, dismissed, some of us did, and then you look at what's going on now, and they've got to address some of these things, because if this is indeed true and there are veterans who are unhappy or don't find him easy to get along with or easy to communicate with, then they've got to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, things are worse than you ever imagined is what we're discussing this morning. And how do you move forward?
Well, you've got sort of a power struggle at the top. You've got a quarterback who is not necessarily connecting with his teammates, and you've got a 4-5 football team ready to welcome in the Green Bay Packers, who you haven't beat the last 10 times.
And break!
Let's go.
No, we do.
Pick six is next, right?
Get to the pick six. Here we go. We're all fired up. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Bears will meet the media today for the first time since firing offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. Do you expect much empathy, sympathy from anyone other than maybe Matt Eberflus, the guy who did apparently fire him? Will it all be about on to Green Bay? The Packers are in town. Or will there be a moment of disquiet for Waldron?
I don't know that Waldron gets a moment. I'm not sure. I'm sure the head coach will try to be nice about it. I'm sure that I would imagine anyway that Thomas Brown will try to be nice about it, because it's a difficult thing to go through to lose your job, although he's getting paid a lot of money. I've got to be honest with you. This is, I don't have a ton of good feeling for Shane Waldron. I don't have a lot of sympathy or empathy. What is he making? Like $5 million he'll get from the Bears?
He had a 3-year contract guaranteed, yeah. $2 million per year. He worked half a season,
Holy cow.
He's due $5 million.
Holy cow. I mean, How, is that not the dream? You know, if someone came in right now and said, Mulligan, get out. You're finished. Your career's over. Here's $5 million.
I will give you $5 million and sully your reputation.
You know, hey, go right ahead. Let me just say a couple things about what bad guy I am on the way out. Can we get it up to 550? I mean, look, it is. I know that's not as simple as the rest of his life and, you know, his aspirations, all that. Listen, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal to come in and completely screw it up and get paid to leave. That's not a bad deal for him. But it's not about him. It's about how you move forward and how you carry on. And I think that this is even worse than I imagined it would be for Matt Eberflus. I didn't have a lot of faith in what they were doing, and I really felt like there was a really good argument to make to move on, especially the idea being that you go out and you get a guy and you bring him in and he has his own quarterback and you build the two people together. And the last thing I wanted to see is exactly what we're seeing now, which is, you know, Caleb is now gone through. He's on his second offense coordinator in year one, and there's not a chance, in my opinion, that he won't wind up with a third one in year two. So I think that they'll probably have to hire a head coach with offensive thinking, right? They'll probably have to hire somebody that can do their own offense moving forward, because I don't think you can keep bringing people in. If they do well, then they leave. You just can't do that. So I think there's a lot already laid out. Today will be an interesting day. I don't think we'll learn much.
I think there will be a lot of empathy and sympathy from Matt Eberflus, and I would imagine that Caleb Williams will say something along the lines, we all know there's issues on offense. It's not all Shade Waldron's fault. I'm part of the problem. I think he will say the offense isn't not functioning all because of Shane Waldron. I think we will hear that or something like that from Caleb today. And I if he's curious or interested, I would suggest he say something like that, uses a thumb. And he has been pretty good about taking some of the blame. But if I'm understanding disquiet properly, worry or uneasiness that Shane Waldron, I mean, is there a show of hands, a text or a call, please, if you're upset that Shane Waldron is no longer with the Bears? The other thing, go ahead.
I think it was meant more as the idea that, you know, you're losing somebody that knew what he was doing. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we'll see that.
No, I don't think he knew what he was doing, which is part of why he ended up getting. We're going to get into it. Why he was the guy after they talked to 10 different guys for this job. Why they landed on Shane Waldron. I think there's two reasons, but again, we'll get to that later. I also really want to know about Tom Pelissero's reporting. Is it correct that Matt? Is it correct, according to Tom Pelissero, that you were just going to move Shane Waldron to the booth? And if you moved him to the booth, was he going to be a play caller from the booth, or was he just going to be part of the game planning? Will that be addressed? I hope it is. Curious.
Yeah, I kind of told you that was correct. Yeah, I think he's on. I think he's accurate there. That was the way it went down.
There's two parts, right? I mean, one, was he going to continue to call the plays, or was he just going to be there?
No, he was going to be demoted by going up to the booth and being another set of eyes in the box that a new play caller would benefit from. Shane Waldron wasn't here long enough to have a big impact on many people. I don't think he had the strong personality to leave that kind of impression, and I think that was part of the reason why he was hired, and maybe part of the reason why he failed. And I think so today you'll hear some accountability, the buzzword about Halas Hall, accountability from Caleb Williams, from anybody asked about Shane Waldron, players in the locker room. I mean, this is a collective effort. This is collective futility. This isn't just one guy. One guy lost his job. One guy is paid well to go away. The severance package is healthy. But I don't think that necessarily there are these kinds of emotional ties that are difficult to sever, because he wasn't here long enough to create those kinds of bonds. And Caleb Williams, I don't think, had the closest of relationships with Shane Waldron, and it just, at least it didn't appear that way. So Matt Eberflus, certainly they brought him here. He tried to preserve a soft landing for Shane Waldron. They have the same representative, which bears repeating again and again and again. But I don't think beyond Matt Eberflus, you will hear a lot of angst over losing an offensive coordinator who didn't get the job done. Shane Waldron's legacy includes a failed 4th-and-1 against Indianapolis and one of the dumbest calls you're ever going to see that was only topped by a dumber call on 3rd-and-goal against the Commanders by handing the ball to a backup offensive lineman. So he leaves with not a lot of accomplishment in Chicago.
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He's here at 7:25. How much difference do you think the new play caller, Thomas Brown, will make? And what's priority number one for Brown ahead of Sunday's game against the Packers?
I'd sit down with Caleb Williams and ask him what he likes to do. What makes you comfortable? What would you like to see more of? How can we help you get better? How can we help you regain some of that success and swagger and confidence that seems to be missing the last 3 weeks? What are your preferences and favorite plays in this playbook? Remember, the point of the day is new play caller, same playbook. That puts him at a disadvantage, Thomas Brown. You don't change systems mid-season. So there are limitations to how much impact a guy can have. So I think what you try to do is you try to return to the basics and you try to rely on your personality and the power of it. If he is charismatic, then reach this young quarterback who has drifted somewhat. Bring him back into the fold. Bring him back into a place where he feels welcome, appreciated, and confident. Protect the quarterback, move the pocket, run the football. So from a football perspective, it's very easy. From a people perspective, he's got to reel his quarterback back in.
David, I think you nailed it. I agree with all of that. You definitely want to make it seem as if Caleb has skin in the game, if you will, if he's able. But I think the question still stands. He might know what he likes to do, but I don't, at this moment, for a couple of reasons, I'm not sure he can execute what he likes to do. So what you suggested also, Dave, run the ball. You heard Coach Wanstead with you guys yesterday. 60% of the time, you're running the ball. Give me two plays to stretch the field. Okay, no more handoffs to wide receivers. No more handing the ball off to DJ Moore. If you're going to hand the ball off, hand it to a running back who can at least try to square his shoulders and go straight ahead. How about a little more Johnson in the backfield? Nothing wrong with DeAndre Swift. How about the two of them in the backfield together at the same time? Novel concept. Protect your quarterback. But by protecting him, it's do what the offensive line can get done. You know, now things could be very different. This injury report today could say both the starting offensive tackles are limited. Okay, well, that would be a step in the right direction, right? It'd be great to hear that they were both full participants, but if they're both full participants, then you got to wonder why one or both didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, this is really a good question because the only question here is what does success look like for Thomas Brown? What is his job now? How is he coming in, and what is he going to do? They've averaged 9 points a game over the last three games in their three-game losing streak. You know, it'd be great if they could score a touchdown, wouldn't it? It would just be nice to see the Bears score a touchdown. But the only thing that matters, it's the economy, stupid. The only thing that matters is the quarterback. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback. You've got to figure out a way to get to the quarterback. You've got to get control of the quarterback, and you've got to protect the quarterback. So you got to figure out a way where you're not leaving him on an island, where he's not hanging on to the ball too long, where you're running the football is a good way to do it. Run the ball. Do whatever you can do with whatever limited offensive line you have. And then I would worry about some of the big-time passes and some of the making the quarterback look good down the line. I think the first thing is just lining guys up, taking all the decision-making out of the hands of the quarterback, and running the football, moving the pocket is a really good idea because it's all about preserving the quarterback. So, I mean, you know, touchdowns is the answer to what he needs on his resume. But the quarterback is all that matters for this football team.
Honestly, I've been fighting myself with this question for a long time.
That's Jalen Johnson. He, of course, a regular here on The Score after games with our afternoon show. So what is the biggest problem with the Bears on the field after nine games? And most importantly, how do you address it before it gets worse with the toughest part of the schedule looming?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem is their offense and the fact that the quarterback's getting killed and they're making no progress as a football team as a result of that. So they you know, the offensive line is not going to miraculously heal overnight. You can't, you know, you can't just go out and buy a good faith healer. You can't go out and get someone to lay healing hands on guys that are injured. So you just go right back to the basics. What is it that this group can do? We're lining these guys up. We'll see what that looks like today. That'll be a first look at the injury list. That's always a good thing on Wednesday. But you got to figure out what you can get done and simplify. Go back to basics. Go down to the most basic stuff you do, which is if you're an offensive lineman, you block the guy in front of you and you run block and you move forward and you try to get control of a guy. You don't go into pass protection. You're going to have to run the football, and you're going to have to go back to like the most basic, simple game plan you can imagine. It sounds horrible, and I don't know that it's going to lead to a lot of success, but hopefully it doesn't lead to a lot of failure.
It's a great point, Mully. Do keep it simple. Keep it simple. I really think that's really important. And also, you know, on top of the play calling, which has been an issue, there's been a lot of noise since the loss. And Eberflus talked about it immediately following the game. Because of this loss and how they lost, there's going to be more noise. The players are part of that noise. And we just played a Jalen Johnson cut coming into this question. He's a guy who said teammates are not thirsty enough. That's got to be addressed internally, right? That, I mean, the fact that if that's true, and I don't think Jalen Johnson's a liar, that's got to be addressed. The guys need to be thirsty enough, especially because it's Packers week.
Biggest problem with the Bears is that their offensive line is subpar, injured, and bad. So you have to find a way to scheme your way through a bad, injured offensive line. I don't know how you do that, but that's the greatest challenge. That, to me, is where everything starts and where everything started to fall apart. You can look at some other factors, but when they were unable to protect the quarterback, your quarterback started to develop bad habits, and I think that it all starts there. Defensively, they're struggling against the run. We've seen it times. This is not the elite defense we thought it was at the beginning of the season. They've, you know, talk about regression. They have had injuries that explain why they've experienced some of that, but they have experienced some of that. And last week, not only were they in the wrong spot at the wrong time, but you saw a lack of effort that you can't tolerate and you should not put up with if you're Matt Eberflus. So I think that they're forgetting how to tackle, being unable to block, and then your quarterback issues with accuracy have been a problem. So I think it's a very long list of problems, but it starts where we have had the emphasis when we talk about football issues and not this other noise that has been created. The Bears aren't very strong across the line of scrimmage offensively and surprisingly lately defensively.
It's a good question.
Voice of Chris Chelios, Chelios and Roenick, 8:40 this morning with Mully and Haw. Did the Bears firing of an offensive coordinator in season for the first time in their history make it more likely they'll be willing to fire a head coach if this downward spiral continues? How likely or unlikely is it that Matt Eberflus has 8 games left in his Bears tenure?
Yeah, it's really hard to envision Matt Eberflus saving his job now, because what that would require, if we're doing the math and you're looking at the progression, year 3, you can't be stagnant. Year 3, you can't get worse. Year 3 in any head coach's tenure in the NFL, based on today's standards, expectations, salary structure, and life in a football city, you've got to show improvement. you've got to show progress, which is represented in the win-loss column. The Bears are 4-5. Matt Eberflus came into this season coming off a 7-10 record. You do the math. If you can see 4 wins in the final 8 games, I want your goggles because they're Bear goggles. And so if you do that and you win 8 games, then you can represent and show progress and you can justify coming back with the same head coach. If you can't get there, I don't think there's any conceivable way that you can bring back the same head coach. So, yes, Matt Eberflus, in firing Shane Waldron, put the focus on himself. And now the rest of the way, his seat gets hotter because he's got to win more than he loses. And I just don't think that's realistic.
Well, Thomas Brown could save Matt Eberflus's job. David, I think, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm just, I think if the Bears somehow could split the games, if they could finish 500 in the NFC North, I think that might be enough. But again, I still don't think they win another game as we sit here today. I don't think they do unless all these guys on offense all of a sudden just click. And this was all a Shane Waldron problem. And the players feel enabled by him being shown the door, and they all rally around this. And you see, we told you it's all about him. We're energized now. We're one now. That could save his job. I don't think it will, but it could.
Yeah, I don't know there's anything really that's going to save his job. It's like there's just – they've taken on so much water. You know, you go to a Bear game now, and they're chanting to fire the coach before the game starts, for the love of God. I mean, there's a lot of ill will. It's just – it's gathering on them, and, you know, we've seen a lot of people come to the end of their tenure. And whether the Bears are partly responsible for – building up the hype, you know, the not being able to lower expectations, creating expectations, not being able to match them, whatever it may be. I think he's got a real difficult task in front of him because the problem is they're damaged now and they're flawed. And, you know, they can't run and they can't stop the run. You know, they can't pass protect and they're really struggling to play good defense. They're getting gashed in the run game. So I think that when you add that stuff up, you kind of there's not like a real winning formula waiting for them. They've been playing poorly, and the games they've won have been against the worst teams. And so you kind of look at them now, and it just feels like, look, if they beat Green Bay, maybe they get a bounce. Maybe they beat Green Bay. Maybe we're having a completely different conversation next week. I just think when you add, you tally up both ends of the list by the end of the year, you're going to be leaning one way rather than the other. I think it's a hard thing to overcome. And it's when a team loses things as the Bears have, very hard to get that back again in an NFL season. It's tough because people will be all over you. Everybody's watching what happened, and they're going to come for you.
Yeah, I understand your question.
How will the Bears' injury list impact their chances against Green Bay this week, and will the offensive line in particular catch a break in time for Sunday's contest?
Yeah, the injury list, as we said, this is the fun part of the week because, unfortunately, the last couple weeks, doesn't it seem like you've added to the injury list? Like you come out of a game – you lose it, you're disappointed, and you're like, how did he get hurt? When did he go down? I didn't know that. It's just like, it just seems like it's been one thing after another. I'm very curious if Jaquan Brisker is playing another game or if that decision has been made or, you know, what if he returns this week? I have no idea.
Would you?
If he's not able to go this week, and they lose this game, I don't know if I want to bring him back.
Mm-mm.
Right? I don't know if it would make sense to bring him back this season. So if that one you wonder about, I'm not, you know, listen, the man has a concussion and it's so dangerous. We haven't had an update on that in a while. It'd be great if they got an offensive lineman back. Even Braxton Jones, isn't he the closest one? That'd be great.
Probably so.
It'd be like we'd throw a parade, anything. anything would be great, because then you could move people back to different positions, and who knows? And maybe that changes you. I'm thinking Ryan Bates might get better after his first week of playing, but that would be the guy I expect to maybe show up with an ankle where you're like, what? He never had an ankle. It just feels like it's been one thing after another. So, you know, is Montez Sweat getting better? God, they'd need him at his full Montez Sweatness if you could get that to happen going into the Green Bay game. I'm gonna watch this one like a hawk, as I do every week. I love the injury list. I don't know why.
Well, I think this could get really interesting on the offensive line. Let's say Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones are both back and good to go. Well, all of a sudden, Matt Pryor can go back to guard, where he's been pretty darn good. And things were so bad on the offensive line last week, I don't know if we know whether or not the guy who finally played a game for the Bears, is he any good? Did Bates do a good enough job? How did Pro Football Focus or anybody else that likes to put those? Okay, could Bates take over for Coleman Shelton, who was awful? He was awful. You know who else was awful? Doug Kramer.
Center?
Bates? He came here to be the center, didn't he? Originally?
Yeah, but he would have to play the position.
Guys, I love the devotion to the injury report.
It's everything to us.
Who are the five best offensive linemen on
this
team?
The Bears could be fully healthy up front, and their offensive line would still be subpar. I'm sorry.
If they're fully healthy up front,
they're not very good.
They'll beat the Green Bay Packers.
No, they won't.
I just said it. That means miracle cure for Andrew Billings.
I'm talking about
offensive line.
No, don't twist it.
Oh, I twisted it.
Don't twist it.
You twist this.
The offensive line, when healthy, is still subpar. That is a biggest problem on this football team. The way it was put together, it has been neglected far too long. So the injured list, the offensive line, did they catch a break? I don't know what that would look like. Catching a break would have been signing a free agent and drafting the right guy, and not a third-round guy who was pre-injured. I think that's what it would look like. Right now, the offensive line, when healthy, is still going to get bent on Sunday. So I don't know why I'm not waiting with bated breath on the injury report. I know what it will likely look like, and guys will come back, and we'll talk about who fits where, and we'll ask Grody on Friday to line it up for us, and we'll go through the paces, because that's what you have to do. And then we'll get to Sunday, and the first third and long, the pocket's going to collapse, there's going to be a sack, and people are going to be looking at each other, and nobody's going to be helping Caleb Williams off the ground. That's what I come to expect.
The last question will be...
That's the voice of Stacey Dales, 9 a.m. with Mully and Haw. Did the College Football Playoff Selection Committee get their second ranking right? And can you believe Georgia is almost technically out of the playoffs if we were going to kick that off today? What does it say about the Big Ten, four of the top five teams right now?
Expansion works. They're loving this. Four of the top five teams, Penn State where it is. They're happy about that. Indiana, no complaints this week from the Hoosiers. The committee reacted like they're scared of Kurt Cignetti too. Like when he walked off the field after beating Michigan and they interviewed him, he had that look on his face and the way he handled that moment. And for a moment, people who have watched Indiana sports for a very long time had shades of Bobby Knight. This guy means business. So the Indiana Hoosiers are happy. The Big Ten's thrilled. SMU might have a case. Their only losses from to BYU, and they're outside looking in, but I don't think they're viable either. So I think that week two, Georgia got what they deserved. I know
they're out. Georgia they're is out. Can you imagine?
You lost. You're out.
I know. It's great.
It's not great. It's not. If with all due respect to Indiana University, if Indiana is a top five football team in this country, college football stinks out loud. Georgia would be favored at Indiana.
2 weeks, baby.
Right.
It'll
all be different.
Revealed.
Georgia would be favored by at least 17 points at Indiana if we were making a spread. Okay, let's get Mike Palm on from Circa and have him.
No, let's not.
Okay.
No.
Why?
Because we're not playing in this fantasy world where we play imaginary teams. You play who's on your schedule. You beat the teams on your schedule, okay, and you live with it. And that's history, Dustin. That's college football history.
And Ohio State will be favored by at least 17 points. At least 17 points against Indiana. Yeah. Okay, Ohio State is here.
Are you
going to
go see him on Saturday?
I'm not, no.
Yeah. I don't blame
him. No. I would like to go to a college football game.
How about your beloved Irish playing four patsies this year on the schedule?
Well, wait a minute.
Are you going to deny them an entry into the top 12?
I thought you can only play with who's on your schedule.
I know, I know that. I accept that as a college football fan.
You know who's really catching bad break? Army.
Well, there's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So Army is on Notre Dame's schedule in 2 weeks.
Yes.
They play out in New York. So we'll find out. You know, if Army beats Notre Dame, Notre Dame's out. And if Notre Dame beats Army, Notre Dame is firmly in. Fine. But Georgia would also be favored over Notre Dame, my Fighting Irish, by probably 2 scores. Listen, I predicted Georgia was going to lose that game. The SEC is really, really good, top to bottom. Big Ten is good up top, not so good at the bottom. They didn't get it right.
They didn't get it right? Okay. I thought it was fun. I watch that show. I get a kick out of it. I like looking at the bracket, and I thought to myself, if the season were to end and the playoffs begin Notre Dame at Tennessee, that'd be pretty wild.
It's a great atmosphere.
That would be something special. So I think it's fun. I think it's also, you know, there's so much time to go, and we got to see who the champion, the conference champions are, and who winds up in those games. And there are people alive you thought were dead and buried. There's still plenty of time for a lot of things to shift and to change. I thought Georgia being out is just amazing because, and I watched that game, right? I watched them get beaten, and they got beaten. They got beaten pretty good. And it'll be really interesting. What's the game this week? Does Ole Miss play Tennessee? Is that this week?
Tennessee plays Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
Okay,
oh,
so now Georgia beats Tennessee. Guess who's out?
Break.
Tennessee, Georgia's right back
in. Move to Tennessee. Move to Mississippi. You love the SEC that much. Go to Arkansas.
Are you talking to me? What did I do wrong?
Hog saw suey.
I just find it fascinating.
Get out.
I find it fascinating.
Oh, that's Molly's line.
Get out. I'm all for it. I love the idea that we're reaching a point now where there are some interesting games that are occurring because all these, like your guy Brian Kelly, I mean, what do you think LSU is doing for his family?
I'm here with my family.
There you go. All right, lost my train of thought. We got to get to the extra point. It's Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. You twist this.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Get this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haugh on 670 The Score.
How did the Bears get the OC hire so wrong this offseason? They interviewed almost 10 men, five of whom eventually were picked elsewhere. The Bears knew they were taking a quarterback first overall and made Caleb Williams their starter long before they even picked him. How did they get this development so wrong? Who isn't responsible for that? Does anyone in their brain trust avoid blame?
Nobody. Nobody avoids blame for this one or takes responsibility. You need to start at the top. George McCaskey hired Kevin Warren, who endorsed Ryan Poles, who was in cahoots with Matt Eberflus, and they hired Shane Waldron. Collective failure. One at a time. You want to go through the list, we could go through where they failed in the process. But, I mean, I talked about how George McCaskey is now on his ninth offensive coordinator since taking over in 2011. He has been the chairman over a lot of chaos and dysfunction. I don't know when it stops. I don't know when he leaves. He can't leave. He owns a team. Is there a new chairman that could do something different? I thought Kevin Warren was brought here to clean things up, not make things messier. And things keep getting messier. They hired the guy who had the same agent as a general manager and head coach. That seems like cronyism to me. If this were the White Sox, we'd be screaming about it. The guy down the hallway makes the most sense. The guy with the same agent, he got the job. Why? Well, he was on speed dial. And it was easy to negotiate a contract for. What a contract it was. Shane Waldron, here's $5 million. Go away. Never call another third and goal handoff to a backup offensive lineman. This is a collective failure. Everybody deserves culpability here. And how they got it wrong is that when you go into a process that is already rigged for a chosen result, this is what you end up with. And this is what it feels like.
David, you slam collective failure, slam dunk, home run, touchdown, whatever way you want to look at, you are 100% right. But there are two reasons why. You mentioned one of them, Trace Armstrong's involvement. Something I just thought about when you reported it. You know, how in the world did they land on that dollar figure for this guy? What I'd love to know, love to find out if we could do the research, of the five guys that got jobs that are doing all better than Shane Waldron, what are those guys making a year? I mean, it seems like it's a pretty good gig to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yes.
But to me, the number one reason, we've hit on it a couple of times, but here's the number one reason they picked Shane Waldron to be the offensive coordinator, because Shane Waldron was never going to be a head coach in this league. Because he was never going to be able to lead men. And that's the one thing the Bears got right. Shane Waldron will never be a coach in the NFL. And that's why they picked him. And that's why eventually they should all be done to, just as Shane Waldron was done to.
Touch them all, Dustin. Touch them all, David. Those are two excellent answers. And I agree. I like the wording of the question. Who isn't responsible for that? Who is not? Who in this, who oversaw or took part in or was filled in on, well, here's what we're doing. We've got a guy that we've already arranged. We know the agent because he's our agent. It's all like a giant handshake. And don't worry, Matt's on board because the guy will never replace him. I mean, it's like, it is comical in a way. That the question does answer itself. Who isn't responsible? There
implies everybody.
That is, and it's absolutely everybody. And, you know, it's great to have a scapegoat. You got to have a scapegoat. We know that.
You need a fall
Chris
guy.
Chris Carter.
Everybody needs a fall guy.
But so they got a guy. They got a fall guy. And he's gonna get you out of all the bad stuff. You got to have one in the crew. And he was the fall guy.
Yep.
He's the fall guy.
Yep.
But look what happened. Look what they did. They're drafted a quarterback. They've made him the starter. All that matters is his development. You hire his own personal coach because he needs somebody to get him going in the NFL. And all this guy, it's his versatility. He can ruin him in multiple ways. I got to tell you, this is one of the all-timers. Before we move forward, before the season goes on, do yourself a favor. Take a quiet moment and just think about, you could teach a management class on how this is the way to not get it done. for the exact reasons everyone's saying. Just fantastic stuff.
Just to close the loop on what Dustin asked, according to Front Office Sports, there are 8 NFL coordinators who are calling plays this year. Offensive coordinators making at least $2 million, led by Todd Monken at 3 for the Ravens, Mike Kafka for the Giants making $3 million.
You know, the Ravens offense coordinator would be a good head coach someday.
Could be.
Just saying, if you're interviewing people, make him one of the 10 you roll in here before your secret handshake guy is hired.
You mean interview 10 guys and hire the one your shadow president tells you to?
All right, we got to get to Joe O. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Money, 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 money.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our buddy Joe Ostrowski. And like all our guests, he's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Joseph, good morning. How are you, bud?
Same as always. Same thing with the Bears, just changing the names every few years.
Just scratch out a name and add a new one. Are you getting ready to pound them against the Packers? How's the line look on that one?
Well, I think the line is interesting. It's told the story of the Bears season, even starting with the offseason. When Hard Knocks is on for this game, the Bears were favored by 1. And before Sunday's disaster, it was the Packers minus 2.5. As we all know, Green Bay's on bye. There are no injuries there. They're only getting healthier. And it goes from what? Minus 2.5. So the Bears only play, and they lose as a 6-point favorite, and it goes from 2.5 to 6.5. We're talking about a touchdown move from the summer, guys. I mean, when you look at a touchdown move, that only happens when Mahomes, Allen, or Lamar are injured. That's just how things have changed and how people view the Bears.
Joe, we had a lively debate over college football and the release of the rankings, the latest ones. What did that move the needle in terms of what did you see and what's a good investment?
Well, as far as the very top, as far as the title odds, not much change at all. It might be surprising to some that the favorite for the title does not have a bye right now. And that's because it's the Ohio State Buckeyes. And they're sitting in that 5 spot. And we know that the loser of the Big Ten championship game is probably going to end up with that 5 spot. So I find that to be very interesting because going into this, I was thinking, okay, this is something new. I would assume that the teams that are slated to get byes are going to be at the very top. And that's not how it's looking right now. It's like, yeah, you have those 1-2 teams, but there's that separation down to 3 and 4. So that is certainly fascinating. You guys were talking about Indiana. I mean, there's not a great group of games coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Top of mind for me is next weekend. That Indiana-Ohio State game. And you're right, David. What a great moment that was with Cignetti. He's looking around. He's like, 10-0? Not bad. Not bad. But you can find that number right now. And no, Dustin, it's not 17. It's 9.5. Ohio State favored by 9.5. I think it's going to be higher once it's officially posted everywhere, once we get to Sunday. But that's pretty telling about the belief in the Indiana Hoosiers right now.
Yeah, I mean, God bless them. They've played well, but they're not in the same league as the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I'm betting Ohio State.
Woody Hayes over here.
But did you hear what Joe just said? He said he's betting Ohio State.
I know.
God bless you.
I'm going to learn the fight song by next week.
All right.
I think it'll be 13-14. I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. And I understand if you want to take Ohio State. Another interesting college story is big move on Travis Hunter again this weekend. Colorado keeps winning, right?
Yeah.
People are expecting them to lose. They're thinking, oh, Hunter can't be the Heisman. He's on a losing team. No, Colorado's 7-2. If they win one of their last 3, it looks like he's going to win the Heisman over Gabriel.
Quickly, Joe, did Shane Waldron getting fired do anything to the odds of Matt Eberflus being the next head coach fired?
Not really. The big adjustment was a week ago when people saw that Eberflus was 25-1 to be the next coach fired, and they bet it last week, but it's still the same. It's still Doug Peterson, the favorite, at minus 125. Eberflus, the second favorite, at plus 150. So there are some people that will do the fired coach bump. I will not be one of them when we're talking about a situation with the team coming off the bye. LaFleur has their number. The 28 games, guys, 3-25, last 28 matchups. Wow. The Bears are against the Packers.
Awful.
Yeah, so there are certain situations where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to back away. I'm not really interested in that. But people bet into it every time, whether it's coordinator. We saw it with Cleveland this year. They beat the Ravens when they changed their coordinator. This does happen from time to time, but that was a coordinator that had a lot of success in Dorsey. Like, situations like that. We're still waiting on the Raiders' first game, but yeah, I can't get there. It came down to 5.5, but it's still now 6.5 here.
So you're telling me to pound Mike McCarthy is what I'm hearing. That's just
he's the fourth favorite for next coach fired. We all know what's happening.
We're all on the way out. Yep. You're the best, Joe. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Bye.
That's Joe Ostrowski. Love Joe. Oh, great man.
I'm glad he reinforced your Ohio State love.
I didn't. I mean, why do you get mad? Because I know Ohio State's going to beat Indiana.
I don't. The Scarlet and Gray jacket's a little much. Yeah, that's all.
That's all. Relax. All right. We've got to get back to this. And I know a lot of people want to check in. We'll get to your calls. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.